I'm glad to be back with you. Tonight and next week, we are going to be focusing on the six kings of the southern kingdom of Judah, whom we read about in 2 Kings. There were eight kings who, over whose life the Spirit of God writes, they did that which was right. The first two were Asa and Jehoshaphat. We will not be looking at their lives tonight, but we will be looking at the six kings in 2 Kings and, of course, 2 Chronicles, about whom the Lord had something good to say. And hopefully, by looking at the lives of these kings, we will be challenged to serve the Lord faithfully without some of the difficulties that some of these kings had. Now, when you're talking about these kings, of course, there is information about them in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. So, tonight, I guess I'm going to have to ask some of you to open to 2 Kings, and some of you to open to 2 Chronicles, okay? And what I have tried to do is to blend the accounts about these kings into one account. So if you want to check out how well I did with this, you can do that. You can open your Bibles to either 2 Kings or 2 Chronicles. Or if you just want to listen as I read the account from the New King James Version, blended together, you can do that as well. We're going to start tonight with Joash. Joash's story is found in 2 Kings 11 and 12 and 2 Chronicles 23 and 24. Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned to the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was established by David. And he set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord, so that no one who was in any way unclean should enter. Then he took the captains of 100, the captains of hundreds, the nobles, the governors of the people. Now this has been from 2 Chronicles and stuck in here is a phrase from 2 Kings, the bodyguards and the escorts, and all the people of the land, and he brought the king, that is Joash, down from the house of the Lord, where he had been hidden for 6 years, during the terrible reign of his grandmother Athaliah, down from the house of the Lord, and they went through the upper gate, the gate of the escorts, to the king's house, and set the king on the throne of the kingdom. Then he sat on the throne of the kings. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, the Lord, the king, and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, and also between the king and the people. And all the people of the land went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They thoroughly broke in pieces its altars and images and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword in the king's house. One of the things that you notice as you read through the lives of these four kings is that in just about every case, as the king, as what is happening is according to the will of the Lord, the people are rejoicing. Obedience to God's will causes rejoicing. So here they are, rejoicing. In the 7th year of Jehu, he was the king in Israel at the time, Joash became king. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba, and Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. Now, I'm sorry I had to read that. Jehoiada was the high priest at the time, and Jehoiada was Joash's mentor. My goodness, he became king when he was 7 years old. He needed somebody to look up to, and that somebody who he looked up to provided him with two wives. Of course, we have to understand that the culture of the day seemed to dictate that kings would have more than one wife. It was not God's will, but it was the culture. And you know how it is, don't you? It's so easy for believers in the Lord to adopt certain aspects of the culture in which they live that are questionable. And we need to guard against doing that ourselves. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So I'd like to just stop here and challenge each one of us. Are we seeking out a mentor who is a biblical priest before God? We read in 1 Peter, of course, that every believer is a royal priest. But you know, it's good for each one of us to have someone to which we are accountable. Someone who we can talk to about the issues of life. Someone whom we trust to be a godly person who can guide us as we seek God's will. So that's the first question. Do we have a mentor such as that? Or are we mentors to someone else who might need one? In other words, are we a Joash or a Jehoiada? And by the way, you know, it's possible for us to be both. We can be mentored by someone and mentor someone else at the same time. But then we read another sad note. And it says this: but the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Now the interesting thing is that that statement is made in the account of all four of these kings, about whom the Lord said they did something good in the eyes of the Lord. But these high places were not taken away. Now you say, well, what were these high places? Well, you're going to have to come back next week, because when we get into the life of Josiah next week, we're going to find out what all these high places were that were not taken away, that had to be repeated during the reigns of each of these four kings. Now it happened after this that Joash set his heart on repairing the temple of the Lord. For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken into the house of God and had also presented all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord to the Baals. Then he gathered the priests and the Levites, and he said to them, go out into the cities of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you do it quickly. All the money of the dedicated gifts that were, that are brought into the house of the Lord, each man's census money, each man's assessment money, those were dictated by the law of Moses. And all the money that a man purposes in his heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it themselves, each from his constituency, and let them repair the damages of the temple, wherever any dilapidation is found. However, the Levites did not do it quickly. Now it was so, by the 23rd year of King Joash, that the priests had not repaired the damages to the temple. So King Josiah called Jehoiada, the priest, and the other priests, and said to them, "Why haven't you required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the assembly of Israel for the tabernacle? Why have you not repaired the damages of the temple? Now, therefore, don't take any more money from your constituency, but deliver what you have for the repairing of the damages of the temple." And the priests agreed that they would neither receive more money from the temple nor repair the damages to the temple themselves. At the king's command, Jehoiada the priest took a chest, bored a hole in the lid, and set it outside beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had imposed on Israel in the wilderness. Then all the leaders and all the people rejoiced, brought their contributions, and put them into the chest until all had given. And the priests who kept the door brought all the money into the house of the Lord. So it was, when they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the chest was brought to the king's official by the hand of the Levites, and the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and counted the money and put the money in bags and took the chest and returned it to its place. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. Now once again, we find here a rather interesting statement. All the people rejoiced and brought their contributions. Do I consider it a joy and a privilege to give to the Lord to build up the house of God, which these days, of course, is the church? It's a tremendous privilege that we have. There are no rules regarding how much or what percentage anymore. According to 2 Corinthians, we are to give as the Lord has prospered us. Oh, goodness. What was the name of that farm machinery man? Letourneau. Yes. Letourneau. Thank you. Letourneau, by the end of his life, was giving 90% of what he earned to the Lord and keeping 10% for himself, and he was still a wealthy man because God knew that he could trust that man with great material wealth. The king and Jehoiada gave the money, which had been apportioned, into the hands of those who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they paid it out to those who did the work of the service of the house of the Lord for buying timber and hewn stone. And they hired masons and carpenters and builders, and also those who worked in iron and bronze and stone cutters to repair the damage of the house of the Lord and to restore it. However, there were not made for the house of the Lord basins of silver, trimmers, sprinkling bowls, trumpets, or any articles of gold or articles of silver from the money brought into the house of the Lord, But they gave that to the workmen, that is the money, and they repaired the house of the Lord with it. So the workmen labored, and the work was completed by them. They restored the house of God to its original condition and reinforced it. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Now that is quite a testimony. Right? I mean, think about that. They didn't have to give an account. They were trusted to use the money that was given faithfully. Yeah, they were. And so, do I need to be accountable to someone in order to act with integrity and honesty? All you hear in the news today is cheating and deception and appropriating for oneself stuff that belongs to other people. Millions and billions of dollars being spent to try to ferret out corruption. Imagine what it would be like if every single person in the United States of America dealt faithfully. And when they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, and they made from it articles for the house of the Lord, articles for serving and offering, spoons and vessels of gold and silver. The money from the trespass offerings and the money from the offerings that was not brought into the house of the Lord, it belonged to the priests. Once again, prescribed by law. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. He was 130 years old when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel toward both God and his house. What a testimony. What a testimony. Wouldn't it be interesting if on the gravestone of each one of us here, it could be written, he done good. Righteousness should be the characteristic of a life, not just because of the influence of someone else. Because after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and he listened to them. What was the result? Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and they served wooden images and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. The mentor was gone. Joash is an adult now. But because he didn't have his accountability person there, he turns away. And things get worse. Listen to this. Yet God sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest. All right, you got that? This Zechariah is the son of Jehoiada, who had been Joash's mentor, who stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. If you don't want to hear the truth, don't kill the messenger. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as that son died, as Zechariah died, he said, "The Lord look on it and repay." Well, most of this material that I've just been reading is from 2 Chronicles. Now in 2 Kings, we find the repayment. Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. And then Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Jehoash, king of Judah, Joash, took all the sacred things that his father, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, and Ahaziah, kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own sacred things, and all the gold found in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and in the king's house, and he sent them to Hazael, the king of Syria. Then he went away from Jerusalem for just a little while. Try to buy somebody off, they'll be back. So it happened in the spring of the year that the army of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the leaders of the people from among the people and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, but the Lord delivered a very great army into their hands because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment upon Judah. Joash is wounded in the battle. He's taken back home, and his servants murder him on his bed because of what he had done to Zechariah. Amaziah, his son, reigns in his stead. Now in 1st and 2nd Kings 14 and 2nd Chronicles 25, we read about Amaziah. And the Lord shows great grace in writing over the life of this man. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, because he didn't do much that was right. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. Isn't that interesting? He did right, but not with a loyal heart, like his father David. However, the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense. So in order for service for the Lord to be worth anything, and to be used by the Holy Spirit, a wholehearted commitment to righteousness before the Lord is essential. Amaziah was kind of half-hearted. It happened as soon as the kingdom was established in his hand that he executed the servants who had murdered his father, the king. But the children of the murderers he did not execute, according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, in which the Lord commanded, saying, "Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall be put to death for his own sin." Now the rest of what we read about Amaziah, it's not really very good at all. Uh, he conquers well, first of all, I'm just trying to condense here a bit. He gathers together a huge army. And he uses this army of 300,000 choice men who are able to handle a spear and a shield. And he didn't think that he had enough. So he hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel. But a man of God comes to him and says, King, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be gone, be strong, even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to overthrow. So Amaziah says to the man of God, well, if I send these 100,000 Israelites back to Israel, what about all the money that I've given to the troops? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. When we do the right thing and obey the commands of God, God will take care of us. And we're not always talking materially here, we're talking spiritually. We can count on God's support and help spiritually as we obey his commands. Amaziah sends the troops back to Israel. That's good. He obeys the command of the Lord. Okay. But of course, the troops that were sent back to Israel, they hadn't received their entire pay, so they were very angry. And they start raiding the northern parts of Judah. Amaziah goes and he goes to Edom, and he slaughters thousands of people in Edom. And then, goodness, what does he do? He imports from Edom the gods of Edom and sets them up in Jerusalem and starts worshiping them. So God sends him a prophet again and says to him, why have you sought the gods of the people which could not rescue their own people from your hand? I mean, how stupid is that? The king says to him, to this prophet, did we make you the king's counselor? Cease. Why should you be killed? So the prophet ceased with one last comment. He said, I know that God is determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not heeded my advice. Am I willing to listen to the advice of those whom God sends to reprove me when I do wrong? Or is my response the same as Amaziah's? Cease. You know what's good for you. The height of stupidity is importing gods who have no power to help us spiritually, but do have the influence to turn us away from God into a half-hearted loyalty to God. Boy, there are a lot of these gods out in our world today. And if we mix our worship with the true God, with these gods, what's going to end up is this kind of half-hearted loyalty to God. Well, Amaziah does a couple of other stupid things against God's will, and as a result, he is murdered, and they bring him on horses, and he was buried in Jerusalem, in the city of David. Just don't have the time to go into the rest of his career. Then we come to Uzziah. We read about him in 2 Kings 15 and 2 Chronicles 26. Now Uzziah, we read about him. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, except that the high places were not removed and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. He sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, this Zechariah is a different Zechariah from the one that was murdered, obviously. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. When we seek the Lord, God will cause us to prosper spiritually. What was true of God's earthly people, materially, cannot always be said of God's spiritual people. But obedience to God causes spiritual prosperity. Now Uzziah went out and he made war against the Philistines, and his fame spreads far and wide. He prepares an army with all kinds of technological weapons for that period of time. It would even seem that we read here, he made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men to be on the towers of the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. Almost sounds like catapult. His fame spread far and wide. We read in there that God helped him. And his fame spread far and wide. For he was marvelously helped till he became strong. Oh boy. But then, excuse me, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. He transgressed against the Lord by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense to the altar, on the altar of incense. Azariah, the high priest, challenges him on that and tells him, get out of the sanctuary. You have trespassed. You have no honor from the Lord. Uzziah thought, since he was such a great king, he could be a great high priest too. But that was not the role that God had designed for him. And so he steps out of the role that God has given him and into one which had been forbidden to kings. He was not a Levite. He was from the tribe of Judah. But pride caused him to do that. And Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So when he's challenged by the high priest, he becomes furious. And the Lord struck him, and leprosy broke out on his forehead. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out, because the Lord had struck him. The place where he presumed that he could go became a place that he left in a hurry. He was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. What a sad commentary. Cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the royal house, judging the people of the land, while his father Uzziah was still alive. Jotham had to take over. We may have a job description and a title in a local church, but those are useless if we are unable to perform our duties because of the results of sin in our lives. Well, finally Uzziah dies. He reigned for 52 years. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. Lastly, Jotham. 2 Kings 15 and 2 Chronicles 27. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Now, for the first part of those 16 years, Jotham was a regent, a co-regent with his father. So he was doing the job of a king without the title of a king. His father still held that title. Are we willing, as Jotham was, to serve the Lord in his designated area of service for us, even when we are not given the official title? I'm just going to take the time to give you one example. We have a man who has recently come into the fellowship of our chapel. He's a delight. He's hungry for the Word of God. And he's very handy with his hands. And very shortly after he came into fellowship, he said, "Look, is there something I can do around here?" Well, there were a lot of little somethings that needed to be repaired. But he's not an official trustee thing. We have official trustees in our assembly. He was an official trustee. So we told him, "Well, I tell you what, why don't you go to one of our trustees and see what you can do?" Well, he's repaired all kinds of things that the trustees didn't seem to be able to get around to doing. A willing servant with no title, just a helper. Boy, we need that kind of people in the Lord, amongst the Lord's people. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done. But still the people acted corruptly. The high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord. Prepared his ways before the Lord. And you know, the interesting thing is that we don't read anything bad about Jotham. Not even at the end of his life like the other three. The rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, his wars and his ways, indeed they are written in the books of the kings of Judah and Israel. So there you have them. The four, quote, unquote, good kings. They teach us many lessons through challenges to us to follow their example when they were obeying God and keeping his commandments, and to avoid the pitfalls and the sins that they fell into. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we realize that in many ways we tend to be like these kings. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to have a wholehearted loyalty toward you and not to be sidetracked by the gods of the world and by the opinions of men. Help us to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And Father, we pray that through this coming week, you will be pleased with our obedience, as we pray in Jesus' name.